sad when a mother has to speak the words that condemn her own son. But I couldn't allow them to believe that I would commit murder. They'll put him away now, as I should have years ago. He was always bad, and in the end he intended to tell them I killed those girls and that man, as if I could do anything but just sit and stare like one of his stuffed birds. They're probably watching me. Well, let them. Let them see what kind of person I am. I'm not even going to swap that fly. I hope they are watching. They'll see, and they'll know, and they'll say, why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Ian Tanner Podcast Nightmare. This is episode 20. This is September 12th of 2007, and today is a bit of a throw-together. You know how in previous episodes I keep warning that I'm going to have a shorter episode than normal, and then it's always twice as long as the one before it? Well, today, honest to goodness, is going to be a little bit shorter than normal, because I've been just swamped with work and with activitas, and I just haven't had any time to get to anything. But I just finished something tonight which was so exciting for me, and so intense and ingratiating and lugubrious that I decided I had to get an episode out. So I'm throwing this one together as fast as I can, and hopefully you will still enjoy the show. Well, my friends, I hope you all had a wonderful summer. I know I certainly did. It was a busy one for Shelley and I. As some of you might know, Shelley and I moved into our first home together, and we moved in early August. And so it meant a great deal of work. Of course, packing up two apartments worth of stuff, loading it all into boxes and then loading it over to the new house. It was a great deal of work, very, very hard on the injured knee and other areas. But we're really glad to be in, and we're slowly starting to get settled. And thus far, I'm really having a great time. It's been a lot of fun, and we're really glad to be out of our stinky, noisy, annoying apartments. And but the downside of this is that it's taken some of my time away to work on my, Ian Tanner podcast nightmare shtick that I like to do. But, and actually, speaking of which, in November, the big news for me is that I will be going away for almost the entire month playing with my good friend Jim Witter. And we'll be playing for about a week in the Middle East in Dubai, which is supposed to be an amazing place. And we're going to be there actually as a trio playing in Dubai, maybe buying and selling a little bit of oil here and there. We'll see what happens. Anyway, and then from there, we go to England and Scotland for a fairly extensive tour with the full Piano Men band. And I am absolutely thrilled to be doing this. I've never been to the United Kingdom, and I can't wait to go. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I really hope we have some time off so we can go to London and see Abbey Road Studios and maybe make a trip to Liverpool. So anyway, that's going to mean that I'm not probably going to get a lot of stuff done podcast-wise for a little while. But bear with me. Hopefully things will settle down and I'll get some more crazy shtick together for you. But anyway, today on the show, as I mentioned earlier, I do have something special to play for you. And this is a song called Luella's Kitchen. And the story behind Luella's Kitchen is thus. I wrote the song in the late 90s when I was in the band 100 Days with Andrew Horrocks, Daryl McWaters, and Tony Lind. But it was a song that was maybe just a little too camp to suit the kind of rock edge that we had towards the end of our career in 100 Days. But when we cut the bed tracks for our final album, which was called the Super Terrific Happy Hour, we actually did cut a bed for this song. And basically what that means is we did a track that was drums, bass, and then what are called ghost guitar tracks. So Tony and Andy both played guitars and recorded it live with the rest of the band, but they would have redone all their parts later just to get the bed track done. Anyway, recently I found my bed track CD of all the songs we did that day. And I listened to the bed track and I thought, man, I would love to actually finish this stinking song. Because I always liked it. It is goofy and campy, and the lyrics are basically ridiculous. It's sort of a, the Ian Tanner eating disorder music segment. But anyway, so tonight here in the studio, just for fun, I added some harpsichords, some Fender Rhodes, what else? Some organ, and then all the vocals. And basically just kind of mixed new stuff with the existing bed track, which is just a stereo track. So anyway, without any further apu, here is, for the first time ever in the whole universe, Luella's Kitchen!
I'm in Luella's kitchen. I'm scratching and I'm itching for something to believe in and to eat. And I am gonna stay in Luella's kitchen. I can't believe that I'm still eating up the stuff that's meant to eat me slowly from the greasy side and spit me out from underneath. I get back to all the things that I could call you. I know that I'd be only lonelier without you. Everyone says it's true. I know that something in you is eating away at me. Everybody's itching, like Alexander Solzhenitsyn, bound to sweets and tarts and pecan pies that put the shackles on my weak and wretched flabby thighs. I get back to all the things that I could call you. I know that I'd be only lonely here without you. Everyone says it's true, I know, 'cause something in you is eating away at me. I'm suffering.
I hope you enjoyed that. That was Luella's Kitchen, a hybrid of musical adventurism. Anyway, moving on, I'm going to play a song that I've never featured on this podcast show before, and primarily that's because the actual recording quality is not very good, and therefore I've never played it. But I was thinking about it this week because, as some of you may know, yesterday was September 11th, 2007, and as usual, it made me think back to where I was on September 11th, 2001. And I've never really shared my story before, and I don't have a lot of time to go into it, but I wrote a song called Leaving Town, and I wrote it on September 10th, 2001, and I was listening to it today, and I thought, you know, I should just put this on as sort of a little September 11th kind of doodad. Long story short, in and around 2000, the year 2000 or so, I started doing a lot of work as a sideman for various country artists here in Canada. And one of them that I played with was a guy named Jason McCoy. And I still play with Jason every now and then, but and he's quite a successful country artist in Canada and now lives down in Nashville and is part of a group called the Roadhammers, which are quickly becoming a pretty big group. And just for the record, I was actually a Roadhammer for about 12 minutes. But anyway, I'm not a Roadhammer. but there you go. I don't have enough tattoos or long hair. But anyway, back in 2000, 2001, I was very active with Jason. And one of the cool things I got to do was play with him on TV for the Canadian Country Music Association Awards broadcast, which is done every year, usually out west. And in 2000 and 2001, I got to go out to Calgary to be on the awards show with Jason. And in 2001, the show was actually held on Monday night, September 10th, 2001. And it was a pretty big night for Jason. He won, I believe he won Best Male Artist, Best Male Vocalist, possibly Song of the Year. It was a really big night for him, and it was fun for me to be able to play on stage with him. And after the show, we were privy to a number of after-award show parties, and that was pretty cool. I got to meet some pretty famous Canadian people. Actually, I got to meet Keith Urban as well, who, of course, is not Canadian, but had a really great time. I actually got my picture taken with Anne Murray, the famous Canadian folk country singer. And anyway, long story short, I did a little bit of drinking that evening, and I'm not really a big drinker. I did most of my abusive drinking when I was a teenager, and I grew out of it and have spent most of my adult life completely sober. But on this particular night, there was a fair amount of liquor flowing around, and unfortunately, I got a little bit toasted, and as a result, I ended up accidentally erasing all the pictures on my digital camera that night. So that means my picture of Anne Murray, my picture of Ron Sexsmith, they're all gone, which is a real shame. But anyway, that night we had a really big party after the show in one of the hotel rooms, and it was just a really great time. And the next morning I woke up really early because, again, when you drink too much, you often can't sleep properly. And I would have woken up probably around 2 minutes to seven in the morning on September 11th. And of course that was West Coast time. So that was actually 2 minutes to nine on the East Coast. And I literally woke up, turned the TV on to CNN and watched the, and woke up right around 9:03 when the second plane hit the South Tower. And of course everything, as they say, everything changed after 9/11. But anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that because I'm not here to depress you all completely. But I did write this song the day before, and it's called Leaving Town. It was one of those instantaneous songs where it literally just came to me instantly. And it's not that great of a song. It's a very simple song. It's not exactly the most original thing I've ever written. But it's got a nice feeling to it, and a lot of my friends really like it. And I've never featured it here before on my show. So I thought today would be the day, since it is right now September 12th. And so that said, I hope you enjoy the rather crummy recording of Leaving Town on the Ian Tanner Podcast Nightmare, episode 20.
I've got to go. It's time.
That's Leaving Town on the Ian Tanner Podcast Nightmare, episode 20. Rather ironic title, actually, because I wrote that song, you know, and it's about leaving town, and yet leaving town was something I wouldn't be doing for about 5 days in the week of September 2001, because we were supposed to fly that day on September 11th. We were supposed to fly to British Columbia, the west coast of Canada, and of course all planes were grounded. So thankfully we had a friend in Jason's band, whose name is Scotty, who lived in Calgary, and he was good enough to basically put us all up at his house, because many of us were there for 3, 4, 5 days waiting to get flights back to Ontario. So yeah, anyway, there you go, Leaving Town. Hope you enjoyed it. Here's something special for you to put in your pipe and smoke, and it won't cause you to get fat, but you may laugh a little bit. This is from Bill Maher's show Real Time on HBO, Hell's Box Office.
That's the line that was.
All right, I want to show this tape. Now, I know a lot of people have probably seen this tape of Miss Teen South Carolina. You've all seen this on television or the...
I have.
You haven't seen this? Well, if you think that education is a problem in this country, this will really make your head explode, because this girl was, she's, I think, 17 years old. We got to give her a little slack for that. But still, when I talk to young people, I very often say to myself, how did you get out of high school? How did they let you out of school without knowing that? And that's the adult's fault. But anyway, she was asked the question, why do you think that so many Americans can't find America on a map? And this is her answer.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our
I like this
and she sounds like a politician trying to wing it.
Exactly. Now, I did not know that so many U.S. Americans were facing a map shortage. But anyway, it did make me think of that. And in 2004, when Bush was running for re-election, he was asked the question, what do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century, and how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal government? Look at his answer.
Oh, dear.
Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity. Okay. And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
I rest my case.
Well, there you have it. Anyway, moving on, I'm going to actually do a final tune here and then skedaddle. And I actually am keeping my word of making this episode shorter than the previous ones. And I'm going to do a song that's sort of thematically tied to Leaving Town. It's a song that was recorded right around the same time. It was written around the same period, somewhere probably in mid-2001. It's a song called QT Natalie, which is cheesy city, but Cutie Natalie. And it was written about a girl that used to work, or maybe still does, for a Canadian record company. And she used to do a lot of work for Jason McCoy, the country singer. And I kind of had a thing for Natalie, and she'd come to some of the shows, and I would get all googly-eyed. But anyway, I wrote this song for her, and it was only a matter of years before she ever actually heard the song. And by that point, I was, in my relationship with Shelley, so it didn't really matter anymore. But I gave Natalie a copy of this song. I thought she'd get a kick out of it. She hasn't talked to me since, so perhaps she was offended. But anyway, you'll find a little segment in the middle of the song goes into sort of this crazy Italian waltz, and I guess that was my way of showing my love for Italians. Anyway, I should probably backpedal that last statement since my girlfriend Shelley is part Italian. Anyway, so here is a nice little song. I hope you enjoy it. It's called Cutie Natalie on the Ian Tanner Podcast Nightmare. Thanks. That'll about wrap it up for today, and I want to thank you for listening. And again, I'm coming in way under time. And in case you're keeping score, in my previous episode, number 19, at this very point, which is about the 26-minute mark, I was just starting my Unearthed Gems segment. So I'm definitely ending ahead of schedule, finally. Anyway, I want to thank you for listening and checking out my show, and understanding also that I didn't have time to make this as glitzy and glamorous and sexy as previous episodes. But I hope you enjoyed the music nonetheless. And also thank you for bearing with my somewhat hoarse-sounding speaking voice. I don't know if you've noticed, because before I started doing this podcast, I was singing lead vocals to Luella's Kitchen, and that's where I burned my throat out, and now I'm all hoarse and sore and stuff. Anyway, so thanks for bearing with me. And again, I'm going to try to get another episode out before I leave in November. I should be able to do one in October. I've got all kinds of ideas planned. I just haven't had time. And I really hope to get to it soon. So send me an email at iantanner@golden.net and let me know what you think of my shows and if you've got any suggestions, any requests, whatever you want. Or look me up on Facebook, however people do that. And anyway, enjoy your September and October. And for you Canadians out there, have a happy Thanksgiving. And for you Americans, have a happy October, I guess. Halloween, whatever. Anyway, thanks for listening, take care, and for heaven's sakes, please, drive safely.
Goodbye.
Fellow Americans, you're all out to get me. I know you are. You bastards. I owe you nothing. Do you hear me? Nothing. How dare you call into question the honor of the President of the United States? If you're wondering whether your president's a crook, well, fuck you. As your leader, I'm above the law. You're nothing but a bunch of ingrates and backstabbers. Good afternoon.